Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally, once and for all, find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces. Like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
We started it.
Oh.
Q&A. Sorry, everybody.
Cue you right in the fucking A.
Sorry we're late.
We're late for a couple
sorry,
days.
Sorry we got here late.
Yeah, we've been on vacation all month.
Yeah, sorry guys. Just got off the beach. We just got off the beach. You were on one beach. I was on another beach.
Yeah, man.
Well, you were in Oregon. I was in Hawaii. We could have been looking at each other the whole time.
Could have been.
You don't know.
Facing the right way, I think.
Sitting there, yeah. Sitting there. Hey, buddy.
Uh-huh.
I waved, and you didn't wave back. Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you hear, not to open our bonus episode with some tragedy, but you hear about the boat fire today?
Boat fire?
In Santa Cruz Island, which is kind of just north of Malibu off the coast.
Oh, like one of the Channel Islands over there?
Yeah, it was like a boat fire. Five people got rescued, but like 30 are still unaccounted for.
What kind of boat?
Some sort of boat fire.
I heard that.
Just happened this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard Kevin Hart crashed his car the other night.
Heard about that, too.
Over on the Mulholland.
I got this. Do you have the Citizen app? You know what that is?
You know what? I was about to sign up for it. I'm on the Nextdoor one. I complained about dog pee on my car tires. and I was going to sign up for Citizen, but it wanted too much from me.
What do you mean?
I don't like it. Like, because what does it take to sign up? There was something that put me off. I'm like, I'm not giving you that much information.
I think I just gave them my zip code. They just want to know what neighborhood you're in.
I thought it was like you have to have notifications turned on to continue.
Oh yeah,
I hate notifications. Like, I'm sorry if I don't get back to emails, but everybody's like, send notifications. Get fucked.
I agree with you.
You're not bothering me. I don't have notifications on for anything.
I agree with you, except for this app. This is the one app I do want notifications on because they send you notifications of shit that's going down in your neighborhood.
I know, but is it citizen reported? So it could be any paranoia?
No, it's not citizen.
It's like police scanner shit.
It's all police. And now citizens can comment and add videos and stuff. But the reports come from police scanners. They're like, hey, your neighbor's getting burglarized right now. So I want to know that shit.
Or we think because somebody got scared because a Mexican guy was walking down the street.
Yeah. Or there's a guy with a knife across the street. Like, I've gotten a bunch of shit that's in our neighborhood. We're like, oh, damn, I'm glad I know that.
Well, I saw that where it's like somebody, it's third person. We go like, oh, there's a shooting at Franklin and Gower. And I was like, no, somebody heard a sound. They don't know. So somebody with a gun spotted. It's like, I routinely delete the app, the Nextdoor app from my phone.
Yeah.
So the Citizen one, it's like, because then I find myself falling into that state of paranoia.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I could be wrong. I'm assuming.
But I want to be safe first.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
I thought they were coming from the 911 calls, but it could be.
I don't know. Yeah. Because there's always the helicopter. That was a joke I was making. I was like, LAPD dumps out its helicopter. Whenever there's action, LAPD dumps out its helicopter faster than a divorced mom with new tits. It's like anything that happens.
I was
chopper.
Yeah.
Boom, chopper. They're always chopper.
Always in my neighborhood.
It's probably
more in your neighborhood.
Cannot wait to get that thing in the sky.
I was hanging out with Billy Wayne the other day. We were just talking about apps or something. And he goes, I want to start an app called What's That Helicopter Doing? That's a good, that'd be a great app. Like, why is that helicopter there? What's happening?
Well, it's either business people going from – what I figure, the ones that are going over here are coming from downtown and going to, like, a private airport in Van Nuys. Uh-huh. Like, I think there's, like, private jet airport in Van Nuys that's easier to get to than LAX because it's just private jets. So I think it's rich business people downtown. I don't think it's Hollywood types.
Yeah.
I think it's tech billionaires going from down. So that's the one back and forth over here.
Uh-huh.
But that helicopter one's always up there.
Yeah.
Like an ow.
Always something going down.
The fucking brown person sneezed. Put it in the sky. We're scared.
All right. Should we get into it, man?
Let's.
This is your monthly bonus Q&A.
Do you load all the questions from the beginning?
Yeah, I start from the top.
I'm going to do that then.
Start it from the top. Now, move it this way. Start it with Ben. I always like to get the first guy that gets in.
Mm-hmm.
Just the guy. If a girl does it, she goes to the bottom of the list. No. First person to email, I'd like to acknowledge it. Ben was the first to respond. He says, if you could make up a conspiracy theory and have it be true, what would it be?
If I could make one up.
Make up a conspiracy theory. Okay. And have it be true. Okay. I see what he's saying. So not what existing theories would you want to be true, but. Well, see, now you're giving me homework. Got to make up a conspiracy theory?
What if the aliens really are running the government? What if it's reptilians and they're just really bad at it? Like, what if true actual citizens decide? What if that's the conspiracy? Like, an actual person decide to run for government? And then they're like, oh, man, that's why it's all fucked up. They really are reptiles. So, not malicious. They're just like.
So Trump's a reptile?
I kind of got a lizard brain, and I'm not good at this. I could really use some help.
That would explain Trump a little bit.
I can't even go down. Like, I don't even want to know what he does now.
Yeah.
That's like an estranged family member. I'm like, I don't know. Can you believe your cousin? I don't have a cousin. That's how I feel about it. I don't have a president right now. That's like a son I'm ashamed of.
He's such a cartoon.
It's
like, there's something I saw some video the other day, and you know, all right, whatever. I'm talking about Trump. But somebody strung together a video, and it didn't look doctored. This looked like shit he said in press conferences. But it was, nobody knows more about technology than me. Nobody knows more about blank. Nobody knows more than, like, there was like 40 things that nobody knows more about blank than me. Like, are you okay? Like, what is wrong with you?
If you met that guy, if Trump was not a rich and in charge, quote unquote, in charge of America, but you met a loudmouth like that at a bar who just worked at the factory, you'd be like, get a load of this asshole. He's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because it would come with a sense of self-awareness.
Yeah. No self-awareness.
Nobody's paying the Patreon to hear us bitch about Trump. But I think, I don't know, conspiracy theories that I would make up, I don't know. You get so caught up in.
Okay. Well. Yeah, it's hard for me to make.
I mean, I've already told mine in jokes and stuff like that, but
one that exists that I think it would be neat if we were living in a simulation.
That's the one we got to deep dive on a regular episode about the simulation stuff.
Yeah,
because I don't know how. That seems like a philosopher's just bored and threw that one out. Like, by the way, it's all a simulation. Well, simulation of what? Like, where's the real part?
Mm-hmm.
Then is somebody else in a simulation programming our simulation? Does that mean that when somebody plays The Sims, that's a real world to them that are inside of it?
Yeah, it's so layered that my brain can't even comprehend it.
That's the problem when like conspiracy theories actually have so much intelligence to them. You're like, wow, that's got to be true because a smart guy told me.
Well, that's a good question. I think it would take – I can't answer it off the cuff. I would have to sit down and really think about for me to make up a conspiracy. I don't know where I would even begin.
I would think that human clones are real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there's people talking about that, but I don't think I'm making it up.
Yeah.
But When can, I don't know, man. That one really did stump me. Yeah.
Way to go, Ben.
Ben, that's a good one. Maybe we'll come back to it after we read more questions, get our brains going.
Yeah.
Ross Drummond, how do you guys come up with new material, and do you decide on specific things you want to talk about? I'm in a funk when it comes to writing new stuff, feeling overwhelmed, especially after Edinburgh Fringe. Fuck yeah, Ross, I get you. Overwhelmed about my comedy and what I could write about when I think I could talk about anything. Any advice, greatly appreciated. You guys are the best. Oh, thanks, Ross.
Ross, did you do Edinburgh Fringe? Good job.
I'm assuming that's what he means by that. And, dude, well, hence us taking a lot of summer off.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to.
You can't.
Get a recharge.
Yeah, there's only so much you could force comedy through your own filter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I make that funny? Can I make that funny? That's an exhausting way to live.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to get back into like, oh, why did I start doing comedy? Oh, because I was just reacting to stuff or processing it.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was funny. Instead of like trying to find something funny, just go live your life.
Yeah.
And
keep your antenna up.
Yeah. Keep the antenna up. I mean, I always do the same thing. I get scared. I'm like, oh, I'm out. Mm-hmm. I broke that part.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so many miles you could put on that particular gear set before it's like, oh, it's done. You're not funny anymore because you made all the jokes.
Yeah, I fear that. Yeah,
but that's not the case. But I think you see, like, comedians that, like, I got to put something out. And that's why they put out, like, oh, now you had kids or now you talk about politics or something. Because if you're trying to do a special every year, maybe you don't have enough life moments.
I don't think anybody should do a special every year. That just seems too much.
But like Jim Gaffigan's going to talk about food forever.
Yeah.
That's easy. There's food. We eat food. He's going to talk about food and having his kids.
Yeah.
And that's all people want from him.
Yeah.
He does it well. And that's all he needs. Bill Maher's on. I don't give a shit about Bill Maher, but, you know, he'll do his fish in a barrel political jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And people just want that. I think people... The same version of whatever Trumpster is like, he's really making America great, are the ones going, Bill Maher's got a good point. Like, on the same side. Like,
yeah.
You just need softball shit. So
yeah.
You could have, he's got his show.
Yeah.
But good comedy, it's because you believe in it. You know, you didn't just make up a bit because you got to fill time. You're like, mm-hmm. I'm excited about this joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I took all summer off, Ross, and I got like 20 minutes now that I'm excited to do it.
Really?
Again. Yeah, because I was frying out by May. I was frying out on all my bits. And I just... I gave my brain a break. I gave that muscle a break. Or any other kind of metaphor you want to put towards... Especially after Edinburgh, man. That's fucking psycho.
Ooh.
Hour show every night.
You did that, right?
Yeah, I hated it.
Mm.
Yeah, dude, that's all August. Take September off. It's okay, Ross.
Yeah.
I'm telling you it's okay.
All right.
Do you have to do anything to force? Like, I know improv games and stuff help people loosen their mind up. So it's like,
you know,
it's
what
easier to come up with. Like you walk down the street, like I can make a joke about that palm tree. I can make a joke about red cars. I can do all this. Might not be great jokes, but you're.
Nah, I've never really tried that.
Doing reps, you know.
What helps me get the gears turning as far as writing out new ideas and new premises? It's just hanging around funny people.
Yeah.
When I'm hanging around funny people, you know, just recreationally, then a lot of times those gears start turning. And I always feel bad, but I'm like, hold on, man, I got to write this down. You know, if I don't, I'll lose it.
I always have a moment like, yeah, we're like, I got it, yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, it's not like I didn't invite y'all over to get premises, but like, that is funny. Like,
I use the notes app on my phone now. Mm-hmm. It just looks like I'm writing a text.
But that's so important. I think any comedian or any creative person, you need to hang out with like-minded people.
Dude, write down premises, yeah. And write down premises.
Mm-hmm.
Like-minded people, and then like, oh, I don't know why this is funny, but I'll write it down.
Because mm-hmm. some of my best tags or even premises have come just like that, just me hanging out, having beers with some dudes, and then like, oh shit.
How do you split the credit? Do you ever like...
Oh, well, that's always the thing.
You know,
I mean, I've had that dozens of times where it's like, wait, is that yours?
Well, I've heard people like, hey man, can I actually use that part?
Yeah.
But I mean, know the etiquette of being a comedian. Like, not like everybody's come up on one long subject, you got one funny tag, like,
yeah,
I'm going to use this whole thing. Like, nah, man.
I think it's whoever came up with the premise, the idea.
Yeah.
People start tagging it. Thank you, but I started this conversation.
Yeah. But here's a funny bit. All right. Yeah, but if you be with a tight group to be able to, hey, do you mind if I use this one?
Yeah. But no, that does help, man, because I found myself in, you know, moments, you know, there'll be weeks or months where, I don't know. Like, for example, when I was in Atlanta, I was hanging out with comics every night, and it was the same crew. You know, it was the same three or four dudes.
Yeah.
We were together almost every night. So just every time I'd be in their proximity, just the funny gears would start turning.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, out here, you know, I might go a week without even doing a show or something, and it's like, you know, oh, I haven't really hung out with funny people for a week, you know?
And that's funny because, like, I go the other way where it's like when I'm really by myself for a long time, I start getting more silly.
Really?
It's because instead of, like, worrying about shit, I'm like, well, get dumb, buddy.
Yeah.
Sit there and enjoy your own company for a while instead of, like...
That's important.
I mean, both things work, but for me, like, yeah, I'm like, oh, that's, like, I'll start making myself laugh. Or the excitement of not knowing if something's funny
because
I just came up with it by myself and trying it then at a show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what's still fun.
Yeah.
Like, oh, nobody laughed at this before, so I don't know what's going to happen when I say this.
As far as a actual nuts and bolts approach, I've been trying this. I don't know if you ever use it. I'll get high as shit and just use my voice recorder app because at least then I know. Sometimes if I'm trying to write what I was thinking, like the nuance gets lost, whereas opposed to just me being high or drunk, just slurring into my phone, at least I know the nuance of the point.
That I've tried that, but then I listen to myself. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot.
Oh, it's
but
horrible. It's horrible to listen back.
The other night, this is a bit that's actually kind of working now, but just I want to be a telescope guy, but I don't have the room for it. So I'm a binocular guy, which is like the same effort, but gets different responses from neighbors. But then I was like, I was outside, but these are in my notes app right now. I wrote, it sucks when music becomes a chore. And I think it was just like, I don't want to have to learn new stuff.
Yeah.
I think because I heard Lizzo for the first time in a lift. And everybody's like, she's like the biggest sensation lately.
I've heard the name, but I still haven't heard
it. I never heard one of the songs. And I heard it. I was like, this song's great. I'm like, that's Lizzo. I'm like, I didn't know I had to go in Indiana Jones excavate shit to find Lizzo. I thought I would just hear it. And then I just wrote, I forgot I was home. So.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, man. Always write down your premises. Because I'm like, I'll never remember. And then write them down detailed.
Uh-huh.
Because you'll never. Yeah.
You got to write those details down.
Boy, we can go on this one. This is a whole comedy advice podcast now for a while.
Oh, man. I'm trying to pull up.
You got something fun in there?
Oh, man. I got so high the other night. I was just, that's the thing. Like I said about the voice thing, it's a great idea in theory, but then you listen back and you're like, what the fuck was I talking about?
Well, somebody's saying this about like the old beat writers and everything. It's like, yeah, oh man, they were all drunk. It's like, yeah, you wrote drunk, but you edited sober.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's true.
This is your voice app?
I don't know what this is.
Play it towards the mic.
Oh, wait, no, that was, okay, here we go.
Is it going to be sex sounds? You got sex sounds on your phone? What?
No, I can't let you hear
that.
What
kind of fucking hillbilly did you turn into?
I was doing an act out.
You were doing an act out on the phone for yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, so I know where the act out is.
Dave's one-man show performed for Dave.
Oh, boy.
Dave Stone for Dave Stone by Dave Stone.
Yeah, no, nobody needs to hear that. Let me just go ahead and put that back in my pocket. Oh, man. So dumb.
Dan Crawley, which is a better tropical drink vessel, a pineapple or a coconut? Man, Dan, why are you trying to divide a nation?
I love a pineapple.
Remember at that thing, that when we were in Hawaii for that thing, and we were like trying to sneak booze at that luau we were at, they were filming, so I just kept pouring beer into my pineapple. And I was drinking out of this pineapple for so long, it burnt my mouth. Like, all the citrus burnt my mouth.
Oh, wow.
And I think the beer was eating it away. Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, that was fun.
I think coconut's more resilient.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to say depends on the drink.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to tell you hard choice right now.
I tried to blend a coconut one time, and I didn't understand that the outer husk, you shouldn't do that part.
Oh, ruined blender?
Yeah. I don't know what I was doing. Almost kill myself trying to drink it. I was choked. It's like, this shouldn't be this hard.
There's like a lot of sticks in here.
Oh, what else we got? Lee Singleton. What's up, Lee? I met Lee in, where was that, Lee? Pensacola. Thoughts on the chicken sandwich hype, whether it's just a product of viral marketing. I'm assuming you're talking about the Popeyes. Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A. Yeah, if patrons, if you've seen Dave's Kitchen, you know that I'm a fan. That Popeyes chicken sandwich is legit.
Really?
Legit.
It's hot chicken? What are they doing?
You can get just like the regular chicken on the bone. You can get it classic or spicy. And the spicy isn't super spicy, but it's got a little kick. I always get the spicy. But it's not like hot chicken. It's not like it doesn't have a red sauce coated on it or anything.
Yeah.
But if you like the chicken itself, which I love,
it's just
Popeye's
a spicy
chicken
sandwich. Like a Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich kind of thing? Like
a lot better than Wendy's, though.
Better, but like not like a sauce.
Yeah, no sauce.
It's
yeah.
in the batter,
yep.
spicy batter.
Yep, just a big fried batter. Chicken breast. They put a little mayo or something on the bottom. I don't know if it's mayo or aioli or something. Got the homemade style pickles. I know they're not homemade at Popeyes, but you know what I mean?
Like
the more white color, not the dark dill pickles.
Yeah, yeah. Not soaked through.
Like the fresh.
Crispy.
Yeah, crispy,
yeah, gotcha.
Fresh. And like a soft, pillowy brioche bun. So you got the nice bun. You got the big, juicy chicken breast. Yeah. Little mayo. Fresh pickles. Boom. No lettuce, no nothing else.
Just a picture of two dudes who like bought out all of them at the place because like now we're going to sell them for $10 each. And everybody's like, go fuck yourself. And they were just stuck with like $400 of chicken sandwiches going bad.
Oh. Well, you know, a restaurant in Long Beach got busted for that like a year ago. I forgot the name of it. Some little mom and pop cafe down in Long Beach. On their menu was fried chicken.
I think I did.
And it was Popeye's
this.
Fried chicken. They would just, in the morning, go get a bunch of Popeye's and resell it.
Free market, baby.
Yeah.
I say free market. I'm not really sure what that means.
It's just something you say.
Well, yeah, if you're just upselling something that you have, Popeye's is your distributor.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but, you know, whether or not it was, you know, I don't know about the, I mean, obviously it was viral marketing. It became viral. I don't know if that was their intention. Whatever, regardless, that chicken sandwich is the bee's knees. So,
all right.
Not just hype, man. It's good shit.
If I get back on that meat, I'll get over there. All right, what do we got?
Here's a good comedy question. Jacob Rivas asks, from a comedy perspective, who had the most impact on both of your styles of stand-up? That's like a trite question to ask a comedian. I mean, I'm sorry, a musician. But, I don't mind answering that as a comedian. Like, who are your influences? You know? Did you have anybody that,
when you
first started?
We've already talked, like, it was like Hedberg and everything. But, Hedberg. Like, Dwayne Kennedy was the dude in Chicago that was just like, I would watch this dude, the whole thing, he would just tell a bit that was hilarious. And then just his presence on stage. To get people able to, like, just sit there like, well, I will respectfully wait for what he's going to say next.
Yeah.
Like, just could command a room with silence as much as he could with jokes.
Huh.
I mean, he's still great, but like wise-looking black dude with dreads holding a glass of wine. He always this is a thing I got directly from him, and it's unintentional, and I don't know why, but it was always, he would, like, talk, and then he'd, like, pick up his drink, and right before he would drink, he would just have more stuff to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that's what I've been doing now. It's like, yeah, I'll drink a beer now. I'm like, oh, wait, no, here's the rest of that joke.
Yeah.
And that's a direct influence from Dwayne Kennedy.
Huh. Yeah.
So, but, yeah, that guy just, watching a guy master, like, because he'd been at it forever when I started.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I've talked about him on the podcast before, but
yeah.
I'd say probably for the most part. That, and I realized, me and my sister, when we were growing up, like, I'd watch stand-up on cable, like HBO.
Uh-huh.
And it was always not like, oh, I don't see color. It was like always black comics
mm-hmm.
that I realized. It was like Tommy Davidson and Sinbad.
Bernie Mac.
And Eddie Murphy. Yeah, I didn't even get to Bernie Mac at that point.
Dude.
But Tommy Davidson's just talking about, like, when Mexican kids, I'm sure it's problematic, but Mexican kids trick-or-treating at the house. I gotta find the bit. But just them trying to get the good candy, like, come on, man, we know you got the good candy. We know you have the Three Musketeers, the Tres Musquititos. That's Trace Muscaditos.
That's funny.
And I was like, I don't know. And just him talking about, like, if Freddy Krueger was trying to, like, kill black people, he
wouldn't win.
I remember
that bit, yeah. That's funny.
Sup, Fred? What's up with you? Not today, dog. Not today. And I didn't know, like, when you're young, you don't know why. You're like, I'm like, no, this is the best.
Yeah. That's cool, man. For me, it was probably when I first started, like, not that my style is similar to him, or at least I don't think it is, but Patton Oswalt was, like, the first guy. Like, I'd always known stand-up. I'd always loved stand-up, but for years, stand-up to me was Jerry Seinfeld and George Carlin and what I saw. But when I first saw Patton Oswalt and David Cross, I was like, oh, so they're doing, like, the classic style of – they're doing stand-up, but they're talking about, like, more interesting, obscure shit.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be – politics,
or my wife, or my kids.
Yeah, wife, kids. Like, oh yeah, exactly. That was like, it was like Hedberg wasn't talking about his interests; he was talking about silly shit in the name of comedy. But yeah, like dudes like Pat and everything. Like, oh, you're talking about your interests, but you're making it. You're not worried about making everybody understand it.
Yes.
But the people that do understand it are like, finally, a guy's doing something I can get.
Yeah, I guess
making fun of music or something like that.
A little more niche. You know, that was my first exposure to, like, niche comedy. Not that, you know, I don't know if Patton's niche, but like you said, he's not covering the same five broad topics that most guys did, at least back in the day. Good stuff. Where are we at here?
We got a lot. Tim Perham says, hey, Dave and Kyle, have you guys got a favorite joke or bit that the other one does? I think glop in a bucket. Glop in a bucket.
Oh, thanks, man.
Still kills me, man.
That's so gross.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm. There's too many for me. I'm not just saying that.
Oh, get out of here.
Seriously, there's too many. I'm a fan. I've told you that. You're one of my favorites.
Get the fuck out.
I do find it funny that occasionally on here, I don't know if you've noticed, but every now and then you'll like reference one of your bits. And you'll mess something up just a little bit, and I'll like correct you. It's just funny to correct somebody on their own. But actually, it goes like blah 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 blah.
Well,
it's not that I haven't listened to your album 50
there's
times.
There's no way you could. That's for everybody to use and make their own.
But no, let me answer that question. What's just off the top of my head? I mean, the shit in a bar. I mean, just that whole story.
Oh,
you know, taking a shit, man. And just your nuance, your use of nuance, and just, and then like when he's like, hey, you taking it? And I came back with, yeah. Just some of the subtlety and nuance, man, just kills me.
So I'm saying, if you can't write a joke, you can at least act it all out and put all the bells and whistles on it you can to cover up for the fact that it's not really a joke that you wrote.
Yeah.
It's a story that you could sell. Well. I still think the idea of glopping in a bucket.
I don't even think that's on any of my albums.
$70, you can watch me glop in this here bucket.
Yeah.
It's about Dave being a male prostitute.
Yeah, what was it?
The fact that somebody would be into your butt. Being a bear.
Yeah.
Being a...
And I go through my menu of what I'll do.
Yeah.
And I think it goes 35, I'll poke you in the mouth. For 50, I'll give you a tug and plug. Or for 65, you can watch me glop in this bucket.
Pokey in the mouth.
I just think it's 65. I thought was a fun.
Did you say something like, "I'll suck the fuck out of
your
dick"?
I'll suck the fuck out of your dick. I just think that's funny.
It is because it's
fuck
like
out of your dick.
Doing something the fuck out of something, but it's also a quite literal occurrence for a blowjob as you're sucking the fuck out of someone.
Which one of you boys got the biggest butthole? just something about an aggressive, masculine.
My balls are too filled with fuck right now. I'm super horny.
I don't know why the aggressive, masculine gay prostitute always cracked me up. Like, yeah, I'll fuck you.
Just get into the business.
Come on over here, boy. Like, not feminine at all, but still, I'm gay as fuck and deal with it.
Just get into the business.
Oh, boy.
Rick Belcher. I just heard Billy Wayne on Behind the Bastards. I saw that he was on there. I haven't listened to that one yet. Will you guys ever do something like that? I think everybody would love it. Behind the Bastards is a podcast with the guy Robert Evans, who did the It Could Happen Here podcast that I was telling you about what happens if there's a civil war here. And a little bit, it does seem a bit alarmist, but it gives it a reason to listen to the podcast. But he hosts this thing, Behind the Bastards, and talks about infamous jagoffs from history.
Oh, really?
And Billy Wayne's been on it a few times.
Okay. I'll have to check
that out. I have not listened
to
it yet. I think I would like to do it. I like that. I like that Robert Evans fella, what I've heard out of him. And, yeah, okay. I guess I don't know. Will you guys ever do something like that? Sure.
Sure.
If invited.
Yeah.
I won't pressure.
It was the scandal everyone was talking about.
Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy.
War of the Wags.
Streaming exclusively on Disney+.
I'm Colleen Rooney, and for the first time, I'm telling my side of the story. Every last detail. They're my words, and I stick by them.
Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagatha Story. An original series now streaming exclusively on Disney+. 18 plus subscription required. T's and C's apply.
Dave, what do you got? Give me one.
Let's see.
Yeah, don't get too excited about this.
Jeremy Proctor asks, what's the most inappropriate fart you've ever had?
Man.
Assuming, of course, there is such a thing. Man, I could talk about this now because she's not a patron. Katie farted the other day in bed while we were sleeping so loud it woke me up and I thought someone was breaking in the house. Because it was a fart that went over a speed bump. You know, it was like, it wasn't just a smooth, it was a, like, it was, I literally thought, it's not just for the joke, I thought someone was breaking in the house. And it woke her up, too. We both woke up, like.
Cats are yowling, dog shit, the bed.
She farted, it sounded like a goddamn elephant. I was like, "What? Are you all right?"
Well, she just eats raw fruits and vegetables. Yeah. That's a dangerous.
And then, you know, she's not a frequent farter, but every now and then. But I was just like, God, it was impressive. Like, it was like,
that's
how do you do that?
Human body's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Inappropriate fart. I mean, geez.
I mean, I told a story about farting on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty bad. I don't know, man. That's the problem with, like, when you are off by yourself too much and you're just too loose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I realize, like, all the picking my nose and farting mm-hmm. and everything and then being around people, like, oh, yes, put your hands down.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't how you can behave. I don't know, man. I get it out when I can get it out. I don't try to be, like, I'm not trying to be party farter or anything, but I'm pretty loose with them.
Did I tell you the story about when I was in second grade, I shit my pants, and in the back of the room, the teacher had built this little Lincoln log cabin. Not a Lincoln log cabin. It was a log cabin made out of cardboard, but it was the size of like a tool shed, and it was like the reading cabin. You know, you get some good credits, you can go read in a cabin. And there's like four or five of us in there. And we had a foreign exchange student from Ecuador. I don't know why I remember that. It's the first time I ever heard of Ecuador. Little brown kid, didn't speak English. So it was me and him and these two girls. And something happened and I shit my little Superoos. And one of the girls started like making a face like, ew, gross. And I just went, I pointed at the Ecuadorian kid,
they deported him.
It's a culture thing, I guess. They just smell like shit. I don't know.
I kicked him out of the country for that.
Walked around. This happened in the morning, and I walked around all day with shit in my pants because I don't know. I don't know why I didn't go to the bathroom and take care of it. So there's a great story if anybody's wanting to know about that. And I remember vividly, it was the same day that my Atlanta Braves Clubhouse magazine came in the mail.
I remember.
And where you could buy like jackets and bats and stuff. And I remember getting off the bus thinking like, oh man, I got to go take care of this. But first I got to check the mail. And sure enough, the Atlanta Braves Clubhouse magazine had come that day. And it was just this weird juxtaposition of like, oh, I'm so excited. I got this mag. Oh, but I still got this shit in my pants. I got to. All right.
I got my DUI and walked home from spending the night in jail. It was the day my new BMX bike showed up in the mail.
Oh, wow. That's kind of ironic.
I was like, I'm celebrating. I want a BMX bike so I can go jump curbs and be a kid again.
Yeah.
And it's like, how about you use it because you can't drive your car? Bill Bowen, has anyone, when washing your face, jammed your pinky up your nose? I do this more than I care to admit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do that, but one that'll get me is I'll brush my teeth vigorously, mm-hmm. and if I pull a toothbrush out far, and then you just stab your gums with the end of the toothbrush.
Okay.
You ever, like, you're brushing on the side, and then it just comes out like, frank!
Yeah.
That's a motherfucker.
I've done that.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never washed my face like that furiously.
Yeah. Yeah, I've slipped a digit in there, you know.
I mean, I can't mock you for it, because as I've said, you know, if you still bite your tongue in this day and age.
Dude, I bit my tongue last night in my sleep. You know, I do that all the time.
I wake up with like a fucking hole in my cheek, because if I'm out and leaning on it and my teeth are just, I don't know what happens. Mm-hmm.
I've been doing this new thing where when I sleep, I'll sleep on my side, and I do this thing now. It's just in the last year. I have multiple pillows, but I'll take one pillow and fold it over. So I just use one pillow, and I'll like lengthwise fold it over. And anyway, so I'll be sleeping, and I sleep too hard, and like the corner of the pillow all night is just poking me in the eye. And then I'll wake up in the morning, and I can't use this eye for like an hour. It's like I've been punched in the eye. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
How can you sleep if something's in your eye?
I don't know. But like I'll be sleeping, and just the pillow will be a little too hard on my eye. And then I'll wake up, and then my eye's fucked.
I did a sleep study finally for the snoring.
No.
Had to go to Good Samaritan Hospital downtown.
Yeah.
And lay there.
I saw that picture.
Yeah, and I had this English guy that was just so – he was just fun to listen to. And he had more, like, stories. Like, even though he was there to do all the things, like – you know, just going on. I can't do the accent. Sounds more Irish than anything. I thought he was Irish from Liverpool. He's like, oh, guy, come in here. Oh, I got to sleep, right? Oh, I'm not going to wear that fucking mask. Because he got it is Irish. But the sleep apnea, he's like, no, I'm not going to wear that fucking mask. Okay, bud. I don't have to wear the fucking mask. See him 6 months later, wheeled in here, stroked out. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay, now you want the fucking mask. Come on.
Yeah, you can die from that.
Yeah, sleep apnea. So I don't have sleep apnea. So I was hoping I.
Oh, you don't.
I was hoping I have it. I'm like, give me this mask.
You just snore.
Because then, yeah, everybody that gets the mask is like, the sleep's been amazing. I can't believe this is what I've been missing out. I'm like, I want this amazing sleep. Hook me up with a sleep apnea mask. And the guy's like, you sleep? He's like, I got like wires. That's the thing. Like, oh, I'm supposed to sleep normally, but I got wires and shit attached to my and attached to my legs to see if like you get the restless leg if you're moving around. They're on my head. They're on my chest and my back. And I'm laying there. And I told the guy, I'm like, I'm taking a melatonin. Like, I'm like, can I take something to fall asleep or that effect? He's like, I don't care what you do to fall asleep as long as you're asleep. I'm like, I got weed and I got this. He's like, do it.
Huh.
And then he was funny, too. I was like, the weed doesn't make you paranoid? He's like, you know they took Bobby Kennedy to this hospital after he got shot, died in this room. I'm like, what? He's like, no, I'm just fucking around with you. But he was like, it was a real good time. Yeah. But he's like, it was in this hospital.
Yeah.
Because he was shot at, I think it was the Ambassador Hotel.
Like, Wilshire.
Yeah. And this is on, like, Wilshire, closer to downtown. So that's where they took him. And he's like, I've been into that part of the hospital.
Mm.
And it's kind of just abandoned with old medical equipment.
Wow.
I was hanging out with this dude. He was fun. I was kicking it with him. And then the weed started kicking it. I'm like, this guy's the best, man. I wanted to hang out and talk with him. I'm like, oh, I got to go to bed now. Anyway, yeah, the snoring thing. I bought a mouth guard off Amazon. I'll see if that helps. I don't know how I got that into
it. That's all right, man. Just see where it takes you. Just make it your own. Have fun with it. You know?
Trixie Emerson says, do you think conservatives see trans people as cryptids that only appear near public restrooms? Question inspired by being bitched out by a local store owner has completely lost all my business. The second part, that's a drag. I mean, conservatives see a lot of things as cryptids. They you know, so why not trans people? No, they're like pervert ghosts that just want our little kids. I think it's I don't know, guessing that if you're saying this, Trixie, I don't know if you are or not trans, but if conservatives, I am trying to come to, like, I can't imagine anybody still being an actual Trump supporter without being full blown like, yeah, I'm a racist, and like that's why that's our guy. Otherwise, anybody with a sense of wherewithal who's like, I don't like him talking the way he does, but I am Republican and the policies align with my views. Mm-hmm. I can't see anybody being behind him in particular. But as I've said with Cobber before, with trans, I don't particularly understand it myself, but it's not, I don't have to understand something to accept it. That's why I find it funny that people use religion to eliminate things. Like, cool, explain how God got here first and made everything. Where did God come from? Mm-hmm. God made Adam and Eve. No, where did God come from? Mm-hmm. Well, it's just, you have to have faith. Oh, you mean you have to accept something without understanding it? Faith? That's how I've, like, yeah, fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
You're not hurting anybody. Do what you got to do to be a happy individual.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of trans folks, you see Chappelle's special? Everybody's talking about that.
I started watching it. I didn't get to that part. What's his whole thing? He just thinks they shouldn't compare their struggle to black people?
No, I don't even think he said that. I was in and out. Well, he did this whole thing, which, by the way, Owen Benjamin's claiming he stole his bit about the letters LGBT.
Nobody's stealing anything from Owen Benjamin.
The L's are this, and the Q's are this, and the G's are this, and whatever. But I don't know. Just here's my whole thing about all of it. Like, I'm pro-trans, I'm pro-gay, I'm pro-all that. Everybody lighten the fuck up. And, like, here's my point. We're all susceptible to roasting. You know, we're all like, we should all just, okay, haha, you made a joke about me. You made a joke about you. You made it. Everybody just, I don't know. And I get that it's sensitive stuff, but, like, at the end of the day, I think everybody takes themselves too seriously. And unless it's like malicious hate speech, there's a difference from, like, I don't like these people and other people should do harm to them. But short of that, fucking take a goddamn
joke. But
that's
a slippery slope where it's like somebody's joke might just be that, a joke. But does that joke facilitate discrimination towards that group
yeah.
in someone else's mind?
I get it. But just, and I know that makes me sound
anti-trans.
Man,
I love making fun of Mexican people. I can make fun of Mexican people. I like Mexican people. And somebody else is like, yeah, man, fuck Mexican people.
Yeah.
Whoa, no, that's not what I said.
Yeah, no, you're right. I get that part. But I just mean, if Dave Chappelle makes a joke about somebody, just know that it's probably coming from a place of comedy first.
Well, I heard he was
maybe
leaning,
not.
I heard he was leaning pretty hard into stuff, but I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But maybe if you are a trans person, you should scare conservatives and make them think you are a cryptid. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're already not going to accept you anyway, scare the shit out of them.
That is funny to think about.
What was the other day? Busted at a straight pride parade.
Oh, God.
Which it's like, I'm already sick of the jokes I'm going to hear about it.
Yeah.
But I think it's hilarious. I know the people's argument. Like, well, why not? If you're all about equality, I don't want to be a part of that world, that constant internet fucking argue. Well, if this, then that. But if you could have this, then we could have this. True equality means celebrating the white race as much as other races. Like,
white people and straight people don't have a history of being persecuted.
But then that's where somebody that says, well, you tell me white privilege. My daddy was a coal miner and we grew up dirt poor and blah, blah, blah. I'm out. I don't even want to play the sport anymore.
No one's getting beaten to death because they're straight. You know?
Mm-hmm.
No one's getting, I don't know.
But that's the, I'm like, I don't even want to hear the argument, counterpoint, counter, counterpoint, counter, counter, counterpoint. Like, I'm so out.
It is ridiculous, that one.
And also, I love the
straight pride.
Well, just the fact that it's like, it was the bathroom thing. Like, oh, where people pee and poo. Mm-hmm. That's my friend was talking about. He was like, you don't have daughters, man. You know what it's like? I'm like, you have a son. If someone's a pedophile, they haven't been waiting for a law to change to become a pedophile.
Yeah.
They've just been a pedophile, and they're out there already.
Yeah.
Somebody being trans, I'm like, I have questions about, there was some story about someone being a trans woman and then going to like a salon to get their genitals waxed, which were still testicles, and then being like, well, you don't want to wax your balls. But they identify as a woman, and so then there's that. So, again, now there's questions.
Yeah.
Now there's questions about what you – and that's everybody's hack joke. Well, I identify as an old black lady. I identify as a fire truck.
Yeah.
That's everybody's hack fucking joke about trans now.
That is – I mean, yeah, I see both sides of that, you know. Say, hey, we don't wax balls in general, regardless of who they're attached to.
Yeah, but then that's where it's someone going, well, you're being discriminatory, which in the same note, it's not. If it's a private business, they can refuse service to anybody. Mm-hmm. Just like when somebody's like, I'm being censored by Twitter. Twitter's a private business. They can take your account away if they want to.
And please use some discretion and understanding that person whose balls didn't get waxed, that's not the same as McDonald's not wanting to serve you a sandwich. This is a business not wanting to wax balls.
But this is like, this is the
please understand
argument
that.
Where I will look at – I will listen to arguments from both sides because I don't have – I'm not going to come into this with a right or wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the we are entering – like
and I've never had to experience it.
Society and humankind hopefully – we'll have the chance to grow and change more and adapt to things and find out, you know. I mean, we're within 100 years of just basic civil rights in America.
Yeah.
Where people viewed black people with separate drinking fountains and shit. And now think about like, well, they just need to have their own bathrooms. So like, think about how fucked up that sounded racially.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but it's genitals. Why are we so scared of the sex parts? Fucking violence. Oh, yeah. Ultra violence all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, don't you fucking take away my AR-15 because how am I going to protect my kids from the more sexually open members of society?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all convoluted. It's a big old mess out there. God bless you.
Well, here's the point I'll make about here's the point I'll make about Chappelle, and this point's been made before in other other scenarios. A comedian, whatever the fuck a comedian is talking about, is different than a politician, or you know what I'm saying? Like a comedian is up there trying to entertain and get laughs. Whatever you agree or disagree with what he's saying, that's different than if Trump is, you know, persecuting trans and gays, and, you know.
But again, then free speech should cover all people.
But Chappelle's not creating laws, you know.
But this is where I always have a problem when it comes time to vote, when all of Hollywood's like, you got to vote. Like, tell me for who. Don't tell me voting's important.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know that you know who you want to tell me to vote for.
Yeah.
Don't tell me just the principles.
It's important to vote.
It's not.
It's not if I'm voting for the wrong person.
Who you agree with. Yeah. Who I was going to probably vote for anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't like that somebody like, oh, a fucking actor told me how to vote.
Yeah.
What? I don't give a shit. I'll figure it out. But then, yeah, you're using your celebrity influence to urge people to take political action.
Yeah.
Then how is making a joke, and I'm not saying this that I believe in it, but I'm just putting all the factors out there. Then how is somebody making a joke about a subject not also influential? If a famous comedian makes a joke that's derogatory towards another group.
Okay, I see that.
That's still, and again, I've, you know, celebrities don't ask to be influential. They just become that. They are that. And then, okay, well, do you have a new category of responsibility as a celebrity because people listen to you? Or you should be like, nah, don't listen to me.
Yeah.
I would love, that's what I want. It's like, I'm a fucking actor. I pretend to be somebody else for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an asshole amount of money because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to act like I know what's better for regular people anymore.
Yeah.
I've been a millionaire since I was 17 because I played fucking Ding Dong Two Shoes on That's My Garage, you know? And they're going to act like, you know what? You know what's good for middle America? They don't know any more than uber rich billionaire conservatives do. It's fucking rich people on both sides using influence for the rapidly disappearing middle class and lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know. You get me going on a thing here.
Well,
I'm still more, I still don't understand that, like, that just the such a puritanical basis of this country is so fearful of anything sexual or gender or just like I could have all the guns in the world, but God forbid somebody's like, I think I want to just put my dick in somebody like a same sex that's cool with it. I think I'm going to be gay.
Yeah.
Not like it's not a choice, but like, fuck, well, how do I explain to my kids? How can I make sense of my own mind? If that's what we're allowing, then,
it's not my problem.
Then everything's crumbling. If I've got to allow, just because you think you want to identify, I got to fucking figure. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Nobody's coming up to you and say, fucking choose right now.
Yeah.
Choose out of a fucking get over yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, if a local store owner is anti-trans, then you can tell them to go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Go pee in whatever bathroom. And it's pee and poo. It's pee and poo. Somebody else had a joke about gender neutral bathrooms. How like thinking like, oh, it's going to be better. Not like who cares? Gender neutral thinking like the guys will be scummy. It's like, oh, it's the women's bathroom. They never sit down to pee, and they just spray piss all over the place. They squat and piss all over the place. Like, this is fucking disgusting. Or Joe DeRosa had a joke when we were in Amsterdam doing shows, and it was gender neutral. He's like, oh, there's nothing I love more than the equality of opening the door for a young lady and that fog of shit smell coming out and being like, after you. Anyway, I got going on that thing there.
That's all right, buddy. You know, we're covering all the hot topics.
John Baker says, Kyle. Yes, Kyle, what are your predictions for the college football season? I'm pretty sure a four-year school is going to go all the way.
Oh, man, that's funny. Dude, I'm excited.
Who should we bet on?
UGA, baby. Bulldogs.
Dogs? Your dogs?
Dogs. They've been knocking on the door for a couple of years.
What bar was I in last year when they... does it end in... That'll end in the beginning of the next year, right?
Yeah. All the bowl games are in December, except for like the playoffs will be early, like late December, early January.
Because they lost in the end, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, they made it to the national title game and lost in overtime of the national title game. Last year, they made it to the semifinals. The top four teams, they lost in the semifinal round. But, dude, this is the year I feel it. I feel it. I know I sound like such a cliche sports fan. But, I'm very excited. Do you understand? I know you can't really appreciate this.
It's okay to be excited.
I know you can't really appreciate this, but maybe the listeners will. My two favorite sports teams, Atlanta Braves, Georgia Bulldogs football. Mm-hmm. There's a decent chance that both of them could win it all in the same year. I don't know how that will affect me, but it'll put me in a good mood.
Dave's got to go and have some happy cries. Yeah, go have some cheerful cries.
The Braves are amazing this year. They're first place in the NL East. Just dominating, just kicking ass. They're not the best team in baseball record wise, but they're in the top three or four. And the Bulldogs currently rank number three. There's a chance that the Braves can win the World Series, and 2 or 3 months later, the Bulldogs can win the national title. So, oh boy,
those brave Bulldogs.
That would make me very, very happy. So,
well, then just for your sake, go Dogs.
Nope. Mike Maskey asked, did I pronounce that right? Maskey? Dave, what do you think about Dio era Black Sabbath? I personally think Heaven and Hell is a masterpiece. I'm more of an Aussie guy, but I agree with you. I like Heaven and Hell as well in terms of Dio. Mob Rules is pretty solid. I like that one. But yeah, I'm first four Sabbath albums really tickle my metal bone. Self-titled and Paranoid.
Really tickles your metal bone.
Oh, man. Volume 4 and Masters of Reality. And, oh, boy.
Tickle my metal bone.
Love me some Sabbath. Yeah, I like Dio, but I'm not a Dio guy in terms of Dio versus Ozzy.
Yeah, I couldn't. Like, a lot of Dio was like so.
Too
like,
high.
I'm like, am I, am I, is this ironic or am I liking this right now? But then I heard some songs randomly because, like, mm-hmm. I don't listen to anything on purpose anymore. I have the XM radio, mm-hmm. and I listen to, like, Hair Nation or Ozzy's Boneyard. So I just let that play. For
most people are the opposite nowadays. They don't listen to anything by, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh,
most people listen.
But it's just because, yeah, these are like streaming channels. Uh-huh. Like, oh, it's no commercials and I'm just going to get a bunch
of
butt
that.
Rock all day.
I like just, that's why I used to love the radio. I like just hit me with something I wasn't.
Without commercials. Like, yeah. I'm like, because it came with like the trial. I'm like, I mm-hmm. don't know if I'm going to get. Now I'm like, this is the best. Mm-hmm. Well, I love it. Unfortunately, I've forsaken my actual music enjoyment for the easy mm-hmm. stuff. But like Dio will come on. Sometimes once I'm like, that's Dio Sabbath. I didn't know it well enough. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's not bad. Because like Man on the Silver Mountain, like, God damn it, man. I can't not laugh at that song.
Yeah, it's going to sound. Man on the Silver Mountain. It does sound like somebody doing, a comedian doing an act out.
Yeah, it's like you're making fun of metal at this point.
Man, speaking of metal and big releases, are you a Tool guy at all? Tool just,
I know the new Tool things. I was never...
I've always been a Tool guy. I like it.
Yeah.
It's you know, now people, it's easy to make fun of them. A lot of people shit on them for whatever reason, but...
Again, I was never in the mood. It always just sounds like school shooter music. Like, I was never, I always listening to ska or something. Like, come on, guys, let's have fun.
Yeah. To me, it sounds like metal classical music. The arrangements and compositions. But the new one, boy.
Something's always wrong. Things are always bad.
If you like Tool, the new one does not disappoint.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's not a huge stretch from what they've been doing, but I think just the fact that it's been 13 years since the last album. But
just trying to avoid politics online, and all I've seen is just people talking about Chicken Sandwich and their Tool album. Yeah. All right, cool. That's all right. It's good. Make me think it's a better world out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And just turmoil, and it's all going to shit. Noah Nelson says, Kyle, you ever notice you look like Everlast? No, but you did, so thanks.
Oh, speaking
of that.
Some
dude at a show was like, man, I thought you were Fred Durst. I was like, all right, if we remove the career from Fred Durst, I don't know how much of an insult that is.
But Dodgers fans might get this reference. The Dodgers have a new player named Kyle Garlick. And I think he even sent you a pic of him. Wouldn't be a stretch to say that you, at least when he has his hat on and you have your beard short,
yeah,
you kind of look like Kyle Garlick of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
At least once a week, I just get any bald or balding man mm-hmm. with a beard.
Yeah, I get that. I get fat guy with a beard, you know, dark-headed fat guy with a beard.
Look at you. All right.
I used to get that when Galifianakis first broke out 10 years ago with The Hangover. God, I got so...
People in Korea thought I was him.
I didn't mind, and I never minded when people said, hey, you look like Zach Galifianakis, because that tells me you know who the fuck he is. But just, you look like the Hangover guy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, that's who I am.
Somebody's still doing that for a Halloween costume, I betcha.
Did I ever tell you the time?
Somebody's still doing the baby in the harness, and then somebody's going to do a sexy Harley Quinn.
Oh, God.
You know, like Halloween costumes where you could just see somebody, and you're like, I don't need to know you at all. Like, that's like Halloween's a good like indication of like, yeah, I don't need to know you. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be in my life. Like, I'm sure you're fine, but you're not. We're not going to get along.
Garrett Booz, Boos, like the cheesesteak.
Booze.
Garrett Booz asked, I guess I'm pronouncing it right. Hey guys, the wife and I are going to Nashville the end of September. Plan on hitting up Husk based on Dave's recommendation. Very wise choice. Anywhere else you guys recommend? Food, comedy club, wherever. I love Nashville. Mm-hmm. Nashville's a cool town. Do you know a lot of? Do you party when you go there? You got any spots you hit?
Nashville. I was kind of keeping it low. I was sick when I was there last time, and I was playing Zany, so I kept it pretty low key.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the names of spots. I usually go out with my buddy Brandon Jazz, who he does a lot of tour managing stuff, but he used to run the High Watt and would set me up over at Basement East when I played there. It's just one of those cities. Like, if you go out with somebody that's a local, it takes you to where they drink. You'll be in good hands.
It's a fun town. Food wise, Husk. You gotta hit up Husk. Arnold's Country Kitchen. Or Country Cooking, I forgot which one it is. It's a classic meat and three, which is kind of popular in Nashville. We've talked about meat and threes before. You get one meat, three vegetables. It's like $8 or $9. It's fucking delicious. But Arnold's is great. Where else do I eat there? Peg Leg Pork or Barbecue is pretty solid. Robert's Western World right there on Broadway in the touristy country music area. That place is kind of like Times Square or Hollywood Boulevard. It can be a little obnoxious, but Robert's Western World's cool. They're open from like 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. They're open almost 24 hours. Always live music. I think I told this story. I had a bus layover in Nashville years ago where I got into town at like 8 in the morning and I had to kill like 10 hours riding a fucking Greyhound. But I had 10 hours to kill. I got to Robert's Western World at 8 in the morning. There was like a 75-year-old dude playing Johnny Cash covers, just a one-man band type of thing. And I'm just sitting there drinking Coors Lights, and they have the Recession Special. I think it's still $5, but for $5, you get a Tallboy PBR, a bag of chips, and a fried bologna sandwich for $5. The Recession Special. So I sat there at like 8 in the morning.
Were you in jail? Outside of the beer, everything sounds like you might have just been in jail.
You got to fry the bologna on the radiator. I love Robert's Western World. You can see great live country music. Not like, you know, I ain't going to see anybody famous or anything, but just good, like cover bands and stuff. But good live music, cheap beer. I feel like I'm missing some. Arnold's, Husk, Peg Leg Porker. Man, there's some other restaurant I'm missing. Fucking Hattie B's. Duh. Hattie B's Nashville Hot Chicken. That's
a few Hattie B's out in the world now, right?
Yeah, they're spreading around. I like Hattie B's more than a lot of people like Bolton's. That's a big one. And Prince's is kind of the original. I think
Prince's, yeah.
I think Hattie B's tops them all. But also check out Santa's Pub. Santa's Pub is a double wide trailer converted into a cash only beer bar. I don't even think they sell liquors. Just you get like Miller High Lifes for like $1.75, and they have live band karaoke. You can sing karaoke with a live country band behind you, and it's literally a double wide trailer converted into a bar, and very cool. So yeah, damn, I love Nashville. Comedy, you know, Zany's is a fun time. Depending on who's there, they got a good comedy scene there too. So
yeah,
check out. I don't know how you would look up like the local shows, but there's always some good local, like, underground basement shows and stuff going on. So, yeah, Nashville's a fun time.
Hannah Bogart says, I'm about to embark on life living in the back of my truck and driving from the East Coast to the West Coast. What along the way are no-miss food stops, roadside attraction, cryptozoological sites, are genuinely stunning places to see. Dave, any advice on living out of my car for the first time? Going east to west, I mean, that.
First of all, you're
taking north, you're taking south,
yeah.
You're taking the 10 straight across from, does that go Jacksonville right down to Santa Monica?
Yeah, I would take the 10. That puts you near New Orleans. That'll put you near Austin.
You got to drive through a lot of crap, though.
Yeah.
A lot of blank space.
Well, it's going to be that way, whether you take the 10, the 20, the 40. But yeah, I don't know. I was like,
yeah, I can't stress enough the Denver to LA.
Yeah,
going through Utah mm-hmm. and take your time because you're going to cut through Zion and Moab and mm-hmm. then hit Vegas.
Moab,
hit Vegas. If you've never seen it,
yeah, Moab is so fucking pretty.
That having Vegas and Denver as endpoints for a road trip, mm-hmm. that's a great drive.
Yeah,
that's a great drive to go see.
Yeah. If you swing through New Orleans, there's great food there. Koshan is one of my favorites. If you're anywhere near Los Cruces, New Mexico, the world's best Mexican food, maybe not the world's, but the best in America, probably. Get those green hatch chilies. Oh, boy. Yeah, Los Cruces, New Mexico. Get you some food. But, yeah, like you said, Moab's hard to beat. Denver's hard to beat. I'd stay off the 40.
These national parks are there for a reason. Yeah.
Flagstaff, Arizona is beautiful. There's a nice national park there.
We miss the Petrified National Forest. We're driving through it to get from Grand Canyon to that art thing in New Mexico. Grand Canyon, I'll say it again. I've heard Bryce Canyon's amazing. I haven't seen it.
you're sleeping in your truck, you want to do Walmarts and truck stops. Walmarts, most Walmarts don't mind people spending the night there in their cars.
No, they want. They want people.
They know you're going to go in and spend some money.
Yeah. Well lit. Yep. Some patrol with a security, I think.
Big chain truck stops like Pilot or Flying J. Those are always safe for the most part. But, yeah, don't do those as opposed to just a rest stop or somewhere.
Those
random
rest stops, get weird.
Mm-hmm. They do. But,
plus people could just drive in and drive out mm-hmm. without, anybody noticing.
Truck stops and Walmarts, it's going to be your best bet. But, yeah.
I can't promote road tripping enough. Outside, remove it from the argument of, global warming and emissions and all that stuff. Yeah, I know that sucks, but
yeah.
See the beauty of America before it's gone.
Here's a fun question. Scott Burchett, I'm drunk as hell. What's the drunkest you've ever been? And what was the, and it cuts off. Oh, consequences. Yeah, what's the drunkest you've ever been? Have you been more drunk than that first episode of Drunk History?
Yeah.
Because you were pretty drunk.
Yeah. Oh, that I was.
That's the one you drank a whole bottle of tequila?
Yeah. I am.
That was really funny.
I barfed twice because I was drinking wine and then I mixed stuff with it. I barfed the night before we went on vacation.
Yeah, you told me about that.
And then I barfed like two nights after I got back. I had a show. Two nights after I got back, I was drinking rosé. And then I was at the Lyric Hyperion, and everybody was smoking a joint. And I was like, I'll smoke a joint with these young hip comics. It was with Ahmed Weinberg,
uh-huh.
So I was hanging out with him. And they were smoking a joint. I'm like, yeah, I'll fucking roast this bone with you. And that's just Danny DeVito from always going to roast this bone. And I legit thought somebody drugged my drink. I smoked a joint and then got so high I thought somebody drugged me with something else because I hadn't been that oddly disconnected from my movement in reality.
Huh.
Like it was wild.
Wow.
Not like scared, but like, holy shit. And then I met up with Rachel and she was out doing something. She's like, we're just going to do vacation for all whole August. So we went to Tiki T. To like threw a tiki drink on top of being high and full of rosé and just came home and barfed standing up. Oh. Like I didn't want to take a knee. I didn't want to admit defeat, but I was clearly just like, but that wasn't like the most drunk I've ever been, but my body is more frequently rejecting my choices.
Huh. See,
I'm a little ashamed of.
I'm going the other way.
Yeah.
Where like I've developed such a tolerance. Like, if I'm really cutting loose now, like, I can go through, like, almost a whole bottle of whiskey and not even be hungover.
Well, I don't know if, like, did I – if I'm just a pussy now.
Uh-huh. It's probably that.
That's fine. That's uh-huh. okay that I shouldn't be drinking that much anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just because I'm mixing things. So that's the mistake I've made both times. The other time I was drinking wine – and I was hanging, Joe DeRosa was at the show. He's like, do shots of tequila. So I was like, sipping tequila and drinking red wine. Like, yeah, you're going to barf.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot. But the most drunk, I don't know, man. I've been pretty, like, blackout drunk, mm-hmm. which is, like, funny stories. And then you look back, you're like, that's real scary shit, dude.
Yeah.
Falling downstairs, falling off shit.
I don't have a single one that sticks out, but. About 5 years ago, I was in Atlanta at Star Bar on a Monday night, and I had finished a tour, so it was like been out for like 3 weeks, and then the next day I was driving back cross country. Mm-hmm. It's back when I had the white van. I think I was living in it, and just end of the tour, Star Bar Monday night, Rodney and the gang, and just got so hammered. I remember I bought a new knife on tour, and I was with John Michael and Emily, John Michael Bond and Emily, his wife, and we're all outside, and I'm playing with my new knife, and they're like, hey, man, you might want to be careful with your new knife, being how drunk you are, and sure enough, just cut the shit out of my hand, like, should have went to the hospital, and Emily, like, doctored me up.
Yeah.
She went and got toilet paper and stuff. But just, and then And then staggered. I parked in the Star Bar parking lot, staggered back to the van, barfed all over myself, all in my beard, and just went to bed and woke up in the morning 5 hours later with barf in my beard and blood in my hand and my head just pounding. And just drove to, I got to go home, and just drove 10 hours, and I think I got a hotel.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, you
got... I got a hotel in like Shreveport, Louisiana, just so I could shower the puke out of my beard.
Way back, living in the burbs, I remember the head mechanic at the gas station I worked at was like having people over to his townhouse, like a barbecue. And I always get, like, looking back, like, holy shit, I would just get faded so hard around bosses. Like, I didn't care who was around.
Yeah.
And I was, like, sitting on, like, a three-step stoop. It's a stoop, but no railings. There's only three steps concrete. But just went, and it was, like, gravel on either side. And I just, like, was so drunk. Didn't barb, but went face first into the gravel. Oh. Just motor function, like, just anything keeping
shut
me up.
Shut down.
You know, like that drunk thing, like, oh, my head's 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And it's going to guide my body.
Yeah.
Face first in this gravel. And then this other kid who was like an apprentice mechanic, he's like, no, I got him. And then I don't know if this happened in the same day, but then I think we just went to the auto show. I think we smoked opium and went to the auto show.
Wow.
I know, with this dude, I smoked opium and went to the auto show. And I also know I was partying with him at my boss. In my head, I think they were the same day. But I don't know. I used to party. I don't even know how to explain it, man.
Oh, man.
I got it.
It was beautiful.
I really got into some shit.
I don't know, man. should we land this plane or what?
Well, I want to acknowledge Anthony DiOrio says, have you guys ever heard of the Freedom of Information Act document known as the CIA Family Jewels? It talks about a lot of declassified activities the CIA participated in between 59 and 73. Okay, he's got a lot here, and it's very informative, and thank you, Anthony. I just found this Reddit thread about FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, and all the declassified shit, and they're like, what's the weirdest stuff you found, like just asking out in the world in declassified papers. And I just found a podcast on it called The Black Vault or Black Door Vault or something, and it's this guy that has just been amassing all these declassified documents and going through them and finding stuff out. So I think we need to do some proper episodes about that. So, Anthony,
that sounds great.
Thank you for that question. Do we have any quick ones? Sweet Jimmy T, I don't think I've ever heard you guys discuss your history with mopeds, scooters, or motorcycles. Just curious if you have any good stories or memories. Dave, you put on a great show in Portland last month. So stoked I got to see you.
Oh, thanks, man.
Dave, mopeds, scooters, and motorcycles?
I used to ride dirt bikes in my teen years. Never rode a moped.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Scooters. Never ridden a scooter. Mm-hmm. But never ridden a motorcycle. I've ridden dirt bikes.
Dirt bikes.
Had a buddy who was really into dirt bikes.
Wasn't the same thing? Clutch on the.
Yeah.
Clutch on the handlebar.
Yeah.
And shift with the.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you could ride a motorcycle.
Yeah, I'm sure I could. But yeah. I just remember when I first started riding how hard it was to steer. And not that, like, it was heavy or I wasn't, but just something about, like, I'm wanting it to go this way, but it won't go that way.
Yeah, you don't realize, like, that you have to accelerate into turns and stuff.
Yeah.
Which that was the weirdest concept of, like, accelerating into turns and also kind of steering out. Like, you're turning left, but you're kind of steering right. Mm-hmm. That's how the physics of it work.
Yeah.
But I don't know. My buddy had a motorcycle. Like, I rode around the block, and then I was in Korea doing shows, getting super drunk. Some guy's like, you ride motorcycles? I'm like, you bet. And then the next day, we were just riding up the coast.
You bet.
He's like, all right. I'm like, all right, I kind of know what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea. And I was on some janky fucking cheapo Chinese motorcycle wow. going up the coast where it was felt awesome but also terrifying. And I don't know if in this day and age I would allow it.
I wasn't allowed to ride. My mom didn't know about that. I wasn't. Yeah. We were forbidden with any motorcycle or anything because my mom got hurt on a motorcycle. I know people know that story, but 21 years old, my mom fell off a motorcycle and broke her back, was in a wheelchair ever since. So it was like, nope, you guys aren't allowed. Yeah, it was just a no-go. And even my dad, I remember my dad talking like, man, I'd love to have a motorcycle, but just can't do it. You know,
my dad had motorcycles when I was little, but those... Like all the other cool shit he had, and that went away once the kids came around.
Yeah.
Just saw a man who had a lot of memories of cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's old Pat Kinane.
Oh.
Standing in the garage around the ghost of all his 57 Chevys and Harley Davidsons, looking at a Honda Civic.
Oh, man.
Well, you got any more quick ones?
Nothing quick. I don't know.
Best and worst hot dog brands. Not eating meat. Get yourself Vienna beef.
Vienna beef hot dog. Big fan.
Favorite style. Man, I'm not going to pick it. Finally had them Coney Island dogs. Those Coney dogs in Detroit. They're delicious. Chicago style. Love them.
Yeah.
Any kind of hot dog. Jappa dogs are weird, but I like them.
Who?
Canadian thing.
Jappa dog?
Yeah. So they do like Japanese shit all over a hot dog.
Hmm.
But a lot of it includes that, like, seaweed paper. I don't like seaweed paper.
Yeah.
But the other stuff of, like, weird mustards and things like that, yeah, go for it. It's a hot dog, man. It's just there to help.
Not a hot dog, but a random food plug. Just had Wendy's barbecue bacon cheeseburger the other day. Oh, boy. It's a good time.
Good business?
Good business. But you can get the single, double, or triple. I always go with the double. And got American cheese.
Moderation. We just go with the double.
Bacon, barbecue sauce, and they got the fried onions and the real pickles, or the like we were talking about before, the real style pickles. But the little onion strings, little onion ring thing. Oh, boy. Wendy's barbecue bacon burger. Big fan. Not that anybody asked.
All right, man.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. If we didn't get to your question... This month, we'll try to do some leftovers and do it next month. But we appreciate the shit out of you guys. We really do. And tell a friend.
We're back on the job.
And we're back. And seriously, appreciate the patrons. It does not go unnoticed or unappreciated. So holler at your boys. We love you and we need you.
Bless all y'all's families.
The Boogie Monster.